Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Yari Curry, McSorley.
Welcome back, Razzball Hockey listeners. Welcome back to the trade deadline edition of the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I could not have been more awkward in phrasing that if I tried. Viz is joined with us once again. Viz, exciting trade deadline, JK.
Yeah, I mean, there are a decent number of trades, but nowhere near as many as I expected. And honestly, I mean, on Tuesday's podcast, we looked at three trades. There's only one trade that's happened in the last 2 days that's in the same tier as the Bishop, Ethan, Hansel trades. If you want us to listen to the breakdown of that, go back to Tuesday. But, I mean, the only trade in comparison is Kevin Shattenkirk, who is probably the biggest move out of all these at the deadline. At least it moves the needle the most, considering that he ended up going to Washington, who arguably was the best team in the league already. And now they just shored up everything. I mean, you're looking at the guy who's going to be awesome on the first power play unit. He solidifies their top four between Carlson, Alsner, Niskanen, and him. It looks like it's purely a rental, but hey, when you're that good of a team, you go for it, and it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I'm like, I love the deal for Washington. Did they give up a bunch of pieces? Yes, absolutely they did. But if not now, when?
Exactly. I mean, Ovechkin's 31. Backstrom's getting up there. I mean, it's not anything crazy. I mean, the first-round pick that's expected for someone of his caliber. It was Zach Sanford. This is a decent piece for the Blues to get back. He's only 22 years old still. Former second-round pick. Has 11 goals in 25 games this year for Hershey. So, you know, it could end up being something down the line for the Blues to get, and they clearly weren't going to be able to afford to bring him back. So trading him out makes a bunch of sense. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that this matters for. I mean, like Shattenkirk, he's going to get a slight boost up. I mean, I think he could finish as a top five defenseman the rest of the season. Consider that, like, he's a great contributor in penalty minutes. Power play points are going to be awesome, and the plus minus should fix itself being on Washington. So, I mean, it's not a drastic change, but it's enough of an upgrade that it matters in my mind. I mean, he's going to be setting up Ovechkin constantly on the power play and just getting cheap assists. And like I said, the plus minus has been really poor. It's going to fix itself. I mean, how much do you think this hurts Carlson and Niskanen?
So before it was one or the other on the first unit and then one or the other on the second.
Right.
I'm assuming this puts both Carlson and Niskanen on the second power play unit.
Yeah, it has to. The only time it wouldn't is if Ovechkin just stays out there for the full 2 minutes. But
right,
they haven't been doing that as much anymore.
I think it, so for one, it's going to cut down the minutes that they're going to play.
Right.
They're going to be more comfortable rolling out the third pairing with Shattenkirk and I believe it's Schmidt.
I don't know how they're going to balance them out, but I mean, I assume Carlson and Alsner are still going to get big minutes and then the other two pairs are going to split it kind of evenly. I mean, just looking at Tuesday's box score, because Shattenkirk did play, he played 17 minutes. Niskanen played 18 minutes, which is down quite a bit from where he was. He did have 2 assists and 4 shots, so he made use of his time. I mean, you obviously have to hold him and Carlson still. I don't know how good it's going to be, but again, defenseman is just so poor that you really don't have any choice but to hold him. Carlson had an assist in 5 shots in the game, played over 24 minutes. So, yeah, it's still clearly that top pair is going to play that much. And then the second and third pair should split kind of evenly. Orlov played 17 minutes as well. They're just incredibly loaded team. I mean, you consider their forward group is probably top three in the league. Their defense core now is probably top three in the league. And for my money, they have the best goalie in the league right now. I mean, they're just –
They have it all right now.
For sure.
What was the over-under that Vegas had, 116 or 114 points?
Let's see. I got the list here.
Yes.
It was 106.5. We both played the overs.
So. Oh, my God. I think I said it was like I'm expecting somewhere of like 118 or 120.
So they would need to get only seven – or no, they only had to get 16 more points in 20 games. We can lock that one up. Once the season's done or maybe even like – in a week or two when we're close, we can see how many points we need for everything. We can go over all that again.
Yeah.
For the Blues, I mean, I've been talking up, like, if Shattenkirk leaves, Parayko and Pietrangelo are going to get nice boosts, both of them. They're already owned, but it makes me more excited for them the rest of the season and for next year.
Agreed.
I don't know which one's going to slide into the first power play unit. I'm assuming it's going to be Parayko, but I don't necessarily know that yet. Parayko played 22 minutes the last game, and Pietrangelo played 28. That's what we're going to see, I think, the rest of the way, especially considering in the Blues right now, they're on the fringe of the playoffs, only 1 point ahead of the Kings for the last spot. You know, they've lost 4 in a row. They're really fighting. So I think those two are both going to be used a ton down the stretch and are probably both number two defensemen the rest of the season, and I'd expect them to both be that next year too.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much those two on the St. Louis blue line. You got to, again, if you're owning Parayko or Pietrangelo, you got to be thrilled, I guess, thrilled with the Shattenkirk trade because increased minutes,
right,
more volume on the ice, like pretty straightforward stuff. The next trade, Brian Boyle somehow garners a second-round pick. And this one's interesting because Filppula, who was traded today, was actually supposed to be in this deal, but he nixed it. He said no. He must have had a limited no-trade clause. And he said no, so because it was supposed to be a larger deal.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian Boyle goes for, I think it was a second-round pick, which,
yeah.
Steve Yzerman's a wizard.
Yeah.
He's a goddamn wizard, because I have no idea how Brian Boyle's worth a second-round pick, but apparently he is. We were talking beforehand. Boyle had a little bit of value.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing with Drouin in Filippo for a while, and they were doing well. I mean, he's been a bottom-end streamer, someone you could use in deep leagues at least. I mean, he's got 13 goals, 9 assists. This kills his value to me going to Toronto because, I mean, maybe he plays on the third line, but odds are he's going to be on the fourth line, and he's not going to be scoring enough at that point. Like, he was getting some power play time. He has 6 power play points for Tampa. He's not going to sniff the power play units for Toronto. I mean, I could kind of get why they have a ton of picks, Toronto. Giving up a second's not the end of the world. I don't know if he moves the needle enough. I mean, he's definitely a good player for the bottom six, but – when you consider what other players went for, I mean, we'll get to Vanek later, but he went for a third-round pick. There are some other instances. It seemed like a bit of an overpay, but, you know, Toronto's right on the fringe of getting in, so I don't mind the aggressiveness, I guess. But, yeah, fantasy-wise,
this kills him.
This kills Boyle's marginal value as it was.
Yeah. Speaking of value, where could be actually a little bit interesting, Alex Burrows, the pest of the past 12 years in the NHL, it feels like,
mm-hmm.
Traded from Vancouver to Ottawa. Ottawa making a couple trades. Alex Burrows was skating with the first line with, I believe it was Turris and Hoffman.
Yeah. So.
So at this point, I don't think anyone was owning him.
No, I wouldn't think so, outside of the deepest of leagues.
Right. I think he becomes a streamer in 12-man leagues.
Yeah.
Just to see what it looks like, because you're going to get penalty minutes, which is great.
Right.
But I mean, there's an off chance he puts up, like, points here and there playing with those two. And, it, I mean, it's a low-key big ad. And I guess part of it is Burrow's lack of production in terms of points. How much of that is attributed to he played on a horrendous roster the past 2 years in Vancouver? Right. Or is he becoming that much slower? I think we can agree that giving him a 2-year extension with a no movement clause was a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know what they think Burrows is at this point. I mean, he's a fine third liner, but if they're going to use him on the first line, I mean, that sparks our interest for sure. And he said they had 21 games left. Could he get like 12, 13 points down the stretch? I don't see why not. With the penalty minutes, it makes him useful. I mean, they play Colorado Thursday night. Stream him tonight, you know, see how it goes and go from there. And I got to give Vancouver credit, too. I mean, they got a great prospect, Jonathan Dolan, back. He's one of those high upside offensive first forwards. I could see him being a 60-point guy, and maybe he cracks the lineup in Vancouver sooner now than he would have in Ottawa. He's still in Europe playing right now, but they voted him the best teenager in his league. I could see him being a nice guy in dynasties that people don't really know about. But yeah, for now, Burrows, see if he sticks on that line and go from there. Again, Colorado is just a great spot. And I assume in like DFS, his salary is not going to be adjusted at all. He's going to be a nice, cheap option tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's all right. That's all I have to say about that. Another Vancouver trade. Yannick Hansen goes to the San Jose Sharks for a prospect that you're actually very interested in.
Yeah, Nikolai Goldobin, he was a former first-round pick. He's over a point per game this season in the AHL for the Barracudas. Played a little bit for the Sharks this year. Hasn't done much, mostly because he was used on the fourth line, but yeah, I long term, I like his upside. It's super high upside, and there is some bust potential here too. But he's definitely another guy I like to gamble on, even more so than Dolan. Hansen, it depends who he plays with. There's a chance like he takes Kevin LeBlanc's spot, plays on the first line with the Joes. If that happens, then he's a great streamer. If he plays on the third line with Hurdle and Ward, he's an okay to bottom end streamer, depending on how many games are that day. It really depends where he ends up slotting in the lineup. We haven't received any indication yet because he got traded to the Sharks during their game yesterday with the Maple Leafs, and they didn't practice this morning, so I don't know who he's going to be with. But, yeah, he could turn out to be a decent guy for 12ers. It could go, honestly, anywhere from being like an elite streamer to – basically irrelevant. It's a wide range of outcomes that we kind of have to take a wait and see approach for. And again, like I said, it's a nice trade for the Canucks to get a guy with that kind of upside. And the conditional pick they got too, it's either a fourth, or if the Sharks do win the Cup, it ends up being a first. So I mean, it's a nice move for the Canucks, which I'm not used to saying, honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty much everyone in Vancouver is a big San Jose Sharks fan right now for the playoffs.
Definitely.
Getting a first rounder with that would be really nice.
Right.
Okay, another trade that's in the works, or that was in the works, but it's done, is Johnny Oduya goes to Chicago from Dallas. I think we both agree that Johnny Oduya really doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't tickle either of our fancies.
No, I mean, I don't even know.
It's not tickling anything. It doesn't tickle anything for me.
I mean, I don't even know if he's good in real life anymore, honestly. But, I mean, he can't be worse than Trevor Van Riemsdyk. So, in that regard, it can't hurt.
Right, and I think the big takeaway here is that Lindell, and then hopefully Dallas will call up Julius Honka. Begins with a J. Okay. Those two should start to see minutes, especially Lindell, we know for sure, since he's going to be up the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the first power play unit recently, too. I mean, long term, I like his potential. He is a guy who I think will end up being better in real life than fantasy. But when you play that many minutes, including on the power play, you're just going to stumble into enough points to be relevant. I still think it's kind of fringe in 12ers, especially if they do call a Ponka and he takes away some of that power play time. But for now, it's real close to me. And if you want to gamble on someone, I'd be fine with grabbing Lindell. I mean, it's him and Klingberg right now. If they don't call up Ponka, you're looking at like Hamus, Oleksiak, Nemeth, and Steven Johns filling out the rest of their defense. Like, that's not going to do much for you at all. And I got to imagine Lindell and Klingberg are going to be at 25 minutes a game. So it's enough to be relevant, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
And it clears up the room for next year at the least for Ponka to, you know, at least be on the second pair. You figure Klingberg, Lindell, and him are going to be their main three going forward.
Absolutely. Okay, probably for at least yesterday or the day of the trade deadline, the biggest name to get moved, which, again, this really just says a lot about the fucking trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Vanek gets moved from Detroit in what feels like highway robbery for Dylan McIlwraith and a third-round pick.
Yeah.
It's a conditional third-round pick that moves up or down in the third round, depending on if Florida makes a play.
Yeah, I mean, it just becomes Arizona's thirds, which is going to be like the second-best third. It is a marginal difference, but you expect Vanek to get more. I mean, I'm watching these shows today, and they're making a big deal about him not scoring in the playoffs for the Wild against the Blues 2 years ago, but against the Blues and the Blackhawks. I mean, it's 10 games, and he's been on a tear this year. The lack of scores available, especially considering that Vadim Verbata didn't end up getting moved for whatever reason.
I still do not understand it.
I mean, we could talk about guys once we're done with the list, like just surprised that they didn't go anywhere. But Vanek's a proven goal scorer, great guy in the power play.
And for a team trying to make the playoffs,
He can play a shelter role, too, considering who else they have.
Exactly. And in for a team, Florida, I believe that's 1 point out of the playoffs. He is money in the shootout, which every point matters.
Exactly.
So, like, it's almost extra insurance on that front. Like, you got to love that addition. He's pretty much Jager light in terms of he's older, he's not the fastest guy. He has absolutely amazing hands within 15 feet of the net. He somehow makes these stupid-ass passes that all hockey dudes fawn over. I mean, and he puts up points.
He's playing, like, I was going to say, he's playing at almost a 65-point pace this year. He's got 38 points in 48 games. Like, there's plenty of value there. He's going to go on the third line, I imagine, with Marchessault and Bukestad. They're going to get,
which is a great spot.
Great spot. It's going to be heavy ozone minutes. They'll probably go on the first power play unit as well. I mean, he's still available in half of leagues. I would probably grab and take the shot on him. I don't think this trade like helps him a ton. But I mean, his minutes were all over the place for Detroit. And you look at his last five games, he's got an 11-minute game, 12-minute game, 13-minute game, and then an 18 and a 15. You really don't know what you were going to get. I think he's at least going to be in the 15 range almost game in and game out. So yeah, I like this move for Florida, considering it only cost them a third, and I like the spot for Vanek, too. And I honestly hope McIlrath gets to play some for Detroit. I mean, they moved Brendan Smith to the Rangers. Doesn't really matter for fantasy. Move Kyle Quincy, too. Doesn't really matter for fantasy. But McIlrath was a first-round pick, a high first-round pick. You know, he loves to throw the body around. He's big, penalty minutes, hits, blocks guy if he sticks for deep leagues at least. And there is some potential there. It just hasn't clicked for the Rangers. He was just blocked by all these other guys that they, at this point, couldn't move, like Stahl and Girardi. And then he goes to Florida, who's got a sub-depth back on the blue line, too, and then he was hurt. So maybe there could be something there for Detroit. I just was surprised they only could get a third-round pick out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they moved their guys they had, too. Like, they end up getting a second and third for Brendan Smith, which is great. He is a very nice player for like probably like your number 4D, but I mean, considering that other teams struggled to move defensemen today.
Don't get us started.
Or even like Mark Streit won for a fourth, which we'll get to in a minute. Like, to get that value for him is great. They got Dalton Proud for Quincy, which is a decent flyer to take. But yeah, I'd assumed someone was going to give up at least like a second for Vanek. It was just a bit surprising to me.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Kings. Jerome Iginla gets traded for a conditional
fourth,
fifth, sixth. What was it?
I think a fourth. I don't know. It wasn't much. Regardless,
it wasn't much. I'm surprised he even got that.
Right.
He's what, 39 years old, 38.
I mean, last year he scored 20 goals, and he still looked like he was slowing down, but there was something there. Like, he's got 8 goals this year. He just looks shot, basically. But
yes,
if anything was ever going to matter, you know, if he could pick a spot for him to go to, it probably would be the Kings, honestly. He's going to get to play with Kopitar because they really don't have any alternatives. I'm imagining he's going to play with Kempe and Kopitar. Going to get power play time. I'm just not sure it even matters just because I don't know if he has anything left in the tank.
Yeah, he would be a, like, holy shit, I need to do something crazy to get into the playoffs, and I can take a swing on Iginla. That's about it. I'm not comfortable dropping almost any other forward I have on a playoff roster.
No,
for Jerome Iginla. And I don't know. Like,
I want to see how he does against Toronto in his first game with them. But yeah, it's just like
it's also a bad matchup.
Yeah, they're just so much faster.
Yep.
But I mean, if he ends up playing like 17, 18 minutes a game, I don't even know if he would be able to hold up for doing that. But
probably not.
Maybe there will be something there. I don't know. I'm just not counting on it being much of a difference.
There's a comment in the comment section on the live trade deadline post.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the risk on him. I think Viz and I would both advise maybe against it.
I mean,
there are better options.
I think you're with me. I would rather take a shot on Burrows.
Yes, absolutely.
If he's going to play on the first line with those guys, it, you know, if they decide they want to balance the lines, the Kings, and say they put Toffoli back with Kopitar, and then they put Iginla with Carter and Pearson, I might be more intrigued about it just because Kopitar is going to do the dirty work most of the time. Maybe he just gets a lot of ozone starts, and the way that Carter's played this year, maybe there's something more there, but I'm not banking on much from Iginla.
Nope. Okay, so we mentioned earlier, Mark Streit gets moved from Philadelphia to
Tampa.
Where Philly retains 4.7% of his salary.
Yeah.
Which, again, just not it's not a misstatement. It's not a typo. 4.7%. Still trying to figure out how that one works. But so he gets Filppula with a fourth rounder and a conditional seventh go to Philly. Pretty much Tampa was unloading Filppula's $5-something million.
Yeah, it was five even. Then they end up sending him to Pittsburgh for a fourth. So basically the trade amounted to getting a conditional seventh and dumping Filppula's contract, which they absolutely had to do. You look at their books.
Yeah.
They got lucky. They got Kucherov signed for $4.25 million, a 4.76 cap hit. But you got Stamkos at 9.5. They're buried with Callahan at 6.5. Killorn's at 4.5. Then you have Johnson Palat at 4. They're both RFAs, and Drouin's at 3, and he's an RFA. Plus, Hedman's new contract kicks in next year with a $7.875 million cap. So that's almost $4 million extra. They needed to make room. And they end up getting a slight pick out of Filppula, who it's a break-even deal for them to get out of it. I think it's a real nice move by Yzerman to get rid of that contract. You know, he's a assist-only guy in deep leagues. If you're desperate for assists, it's fine. I always look to someone else to stream because he's another one of those guys, you know, who was in the Ribeiro mode or Henrik Sedin or Thornton. These guys that just don't shoot the puck, and he's basically a poor man's version of those guys. So,
yeah, the only way I'd be even remotely interested is if he somehow slides in next to Voracek or someone who can finish.
It's not impossible. It could happen that they put Couturier down in the third line, and and they put Philpulu there, I'm just not banking on it.
Yeah, neither am I.
So Strite in Pittsburgh, I mean, again, they're murdered with injuries right now. I mean, I kind of like the spot in Tampa more because I knew he would play on the second power play unit, but they split their minutes kind of evenly. Pittsburgh rolls that first power play unit for so long, and there's no way he's going to take Schultz's spot for now. And when Letang comes back, it pushes him down even further. Are you grabbing him in 12 or still?
Yes.
I think so, too. I mean, the plus-minus will fix itself, which is enough right there. Teams, they're just loaded with talent. It's such a good spot for him to be in. I wouldn't expect much from him, but it should be enough for him to be a hold, I think. Even if he's a number four guy the rest of the way, that's fine.
Yeah, okay, I guess another on the Pittsburgh. They did acquire Frank Corrado. We don't have it in our notes, but I was just thinking about it. Is there any value there in, 16- or 20-man crazy leagues?
I don't even think. I mean, is he even going to crack their lineup?
I don't know.
I'm guessing not. I mean,
if he doesn't crack the lineup, it doesn't matter if you're 100-man.
No, I don't know. He was struggling to crack the lineup for Toronto even. You know, granted, Pittsburgh does have all these injuries on defense, but I don't even think he does. That move to me was to dump Fair's contract to Toronto so they could have the cap space to add Strite. I think that was what the main purpose of that trade was. I don't see Corrado having much impact.
Okay, just in case someone says, oh, well, you didn't talk about the other trade that Pittsburgh made. Yeah, no, we did.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, maybe Fair plays on the fourth line for Toronto, too, and that fourth line actually would be a really good fourth line, but it's not going to matter for fantasy.
Right. Okay, one that might actually pique my interest is P.A. Parenteau goes to Nashville for what I believe is either a fifth or a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
From the Devils. Parenteau actually hasn't been too bad this year on a Devils squad that's been struggling to score, which, I mean, that could have been said about any Devils team on this side of, 2002?
I mean, they had that one year they made the cup against the Kings the first time around in, 2011, but that was...
Right, but even then, that was goaltending got him. I don't think it was
Kovalchuk in goaltending, basically. Right. That's it.
Okay, so Parenteau gets moved to Nashville. Nashville just played Buffalo on Tuesday night. I was at the game. I canceled something I had to do, so I could go to the game. Couldn't sell the tickets. Nashville looks good.
Yeah.
And that was, one of the worst games I think they've played. And they still won. They still look good. Mike Fisher looked good. The depth guys looked good. If Parenteau slides in on the third line,
I was gonna say my guess is he plays with Neil and Yarncroke, but I don't know for sure. I mean, he is injured right now. They said he's gonna miss the first two games there, so we're looking at him returning early next week.
I could see something where he slides in, in Colin Wilson's spot, because Colin Wilson's sort of fallen out of favor.
Yeah.
In Nashville.
Craig Smith has, too. I don't know what they could go a few different ways with it, but, yeah, I'm interested to see how they use him. Like you said, they're rolling right now, so perhaps he at least becomes a good streamer again. He had his times with that at the Devils, too. It really just depends who he's playing with. Oh, okay, James Myrtle from the Athletic Toronto just said Corrado's going to Wilkes-Barre, so we don't get to worry about that now.
No value.
Yeah. And last trade I think that might matter a bit is Drew Stafford goes to Boston for a sixth, I believe. We know how Stafford is. Super streaky guy, could go on fire for 3 weeks where he gets, 12 points in 10 games. And then he does nothing for 5 to 6 weeks. We really don't know, but he could have that hot streak with Boston. They're playing very well right now, too. And I have to imagine he takes our boy Jimmy Hayes' spot on the third line and plays with Spooner and Petrano. So there could be something here for Stafford, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. Again, it comes down to, where's he sliding in the lineup?
Yeah, again, a lot of these guys, we have the indication from Burrows and Vanek where they're going to be. The other ones, it's kind of guesswork. And a lot of that is what it's going to come down to is exactly who they're playing with. So, you know, I wouldn't rush to grab any of these guys, honestly, except Vanek if he was still available in your league, and Strite if you need a defenseman. But, I mean, for today, I would stream Burrows against Colorado, see how all these guys do, see how or who Hansen plays with for the Sharks tonight. Funny, he plays against Vancouver. See how who Aginla plays with. I'll see who Stafford plays with and go from there, basically. But
yeah,
that's really about it. It was kind of a disappointing deadline, but I mean, they had the big moves. They happened a few days in advance, and
right.
Most of the innocuous, like random UFA rentals for late picks trades really didn't happen. It was kind of surprising.
They didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean,
the only like
Stafford and Parento are UFA guys that happened for.
Right, but those aren't like your big time. Like I think there were a couple of players that we really did expect to get moved.
Yeah.
The Sabres were expected to unload both Kulikov and Franzen.
Right.
Neither happened.
Right. I mean, even if it didn't matter for fantasy, maybe Franzen could have if he went to the right team. I doubt it, but he had his stretches in the past. But yeah, you just expect these guys to basically be given away if need be. Verbata's another one. We talked about before about playing the expansion draft, right? I mean, there is some case to be made where, you know, Sabres have Kulikov. They're obviously not going to protect him in Franzen come the draft. If Vegas decides they want one of these guys because they don't like any of Buffalo's forwards because they're surely not going to want one of the other defensemen, then they can negotiate with one of those guys. They say they sign Kulikov. They take Kulikov in the expansion draft. Now the Sabres didn't lose anybody off their team. But it's still not worth it in my mind to not just at least get some sort of draft pick. And, you know, Tim Murray at a press conference, he didn't seem too thrilled about how things developed around the deadline with all these teams. Like I said, Verbata was another one. He's on a 10-game point streak, and you don't sell him off when he's like, this is the dream scenario for the Coyotes. He's hotter than hell for a month leading up into the deadline, and you can't get anything.
You're telling me, even if no one was going to give you a one, you're telling me you couldn't get, like, two twos or a two and a three?
Get at least a good third in a flyer prospect like they did for Detroit did for Vanek. You know, like, Stepniak's been ice cold, but he had his stretches, especially in the beginning of the year with Rask and Skinner. You know, teams know what he can do. He's been around forever. He could be a spark. Doesn't go for anything. It's just a weird
Yeah, and especially when you consider what they got for Hanzel, like,
right?
I feel like Verbata should have been more valuable than Hanzel.
Well, I mean, Hanzel's teams get more use out of having the center for the most part, and he fits exactly right into what Minnesota needed. But every team needs scoring, like we talked about the other day. Like, Verbata was a perfect fit for Montreal, and Montreal added Dwight King. It doesn't matter, and Andreas Martinson from Colorado. Well, I guess I will add quick that they Sven Andrighetto went to the Avalanche. He's been really good in the AHL. He was really good at times for Montreal last year. I think he could be a guy who has some streamer value the rest of the season, depending on who he plays with. I mean, right now they're balancing out the lines a bit, but he has to go in their top six. They really don't have anybody else. He might get to play with Duchesne, and there could be something there, and long term maybe too.
Also interesting that Duchesne and Landeskog didn't get moved.
Yeah, I guess the deal wasn't there, and that's one that you can't force. Like, Sackett can't get that trade wrong. They can't get full. They have to get full value for one of those guys, or it's just an epic disaster.
Agreed. It's just one of those. Like, it was so hyped up.
I thought the Duchesne trade was more likely and possibly would be the one that happened. So many teams could have used him, basically everybody. So maybe come the offseason it is easier again when teams, you know, like the Ducks. I don't know if the Ducks would be able to afford him, but they are going to have to move some defensemen. And Colorado, God knows they've needed defensemen for 10 years now. So
yeah.
I don't know. I assume come the offseason one of them at least has to go.
Just really sort of let down in terms of the lack of trades that happened today.
I mean, there really
or
wasn't.
Yesterday, sorry, this is getting posted on Thursday, but the lack of trades that happened.
There just really wasn't a trade that was like both teams, you know, it.
There were no hockey trades.
Right. I mean, granted, it ended up being a failure for both teams, but there wasn't a Cody Hodgson for Zach Cassian trade where it was like two big prospects swapped to each other, or better prospects or better young players, proven young players moved. That trade wasn't there. And, you know, Tim Murray was another one, just because we listened to the press conference right before we started, like, talked about trying to make a hockey trade, and they weren't really out there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think teams are really scared at the trade deadline. And I definitely thought that with the way the last week went, we talked about in the last podcast that there were a lot of teams that were like in the middle who we established, okay, like they are now sellers, or teams that were middling who probably weren't going to be buyers, where they are definitely now buyers. It's one of those things where we thought that the last week would have really shaped the market, mm-hmm. so that there'd be true sellers and true buyers. But apparently that just wasn't it. And then hockey trades are so rare. Even just the rental part of it feels like,
yeah, I mean, there were
teams
are
way too skittish. It's almost like they didn't do enough homework or didn't do their research to say, okay, well, if we're going to be buyers, what players should we target?
Right. I mean, there were players.
It's like they realized yesterday, oh, we're now buyers, but we don't know who we want, so let's forget. Like, okay, let's move on.
I mean, there were plenty of rental trades, but there were plenty of guys who should have been traded as rentals too. Like, there were barely over 10 trades today, and it used to be in the 20s. It's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know if time's necessarily changing, or it's just that the Vegas situation is messing things up, or teams are just being more realistic and saying, we're not going to beat Washington or Pittsburgh or the Sharks or the Wild or the Blackhawks and not go. Like, I don't know. Like, you would think some of these middling teams would push more towards like solidifying themselves. But, you know, look at the Bruins to me. Like, they had Stafford. Their defense is still incredibly shaky, and they could have used one more guy to help solidify things. They didn't do it. Like, they were talked about as someone who could – or getting Kulikov. And as bad as Kulikov's been this year, it would still be a marginal upgrade for them on the back end. Like, there was just more teams that could have done something that chose not to, for whatever reason that is. We just speculating. But even Montreal, a team who made a ton of moves, it was all just like fourth line, yeah. Third pairing guy, like Jordy Benn, third pairing guy, you know, Dwight King, and like I said, Martinson, just fourth liners, Steve Ott. It's all fourth liner stuff. It was just a different than usual, I guess.
Yeah. If you do want to see any of these players play, though, where would you go and grab some tickets?
Gotta go to SeatGeek.
Oh, hell yeah, you gotta go to SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the hockey games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the ringside for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get guaranteed seats you want for a great value. With the SeatGeek app, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price. Best of all, the listeners get $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. I mean, I have the SeatGeek phone app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. To get your $20 rebate, you download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add promo code. Enter the promo code RAZZNHL, RAZZNHL, no spaces, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAZZNHL today. So I guess the next thing we need to talk about, injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Parisi and Pominville, apparently the mumps traveled to Minnesota.
Again, sweet. After 3 years ago, we talked about the last podcast, how it hit them before. The funny thing is, those guys got shots for it then, and they still end up getting it now. I mean, Pominville was right on the fringe, but he was hot for a while. Parisi has fallen off quite a bit, but is probably still a hold. Are you holding both of them while they're out?
I'm holding Pominville. I'm a little bit less excited about Parisi. I don't know why, but I just...
It might just be like the relative disappointment because the expectations were higher,
yes,
in some way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you think of Parisi, you think of one of the best American skaters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Except that was like 2 or 3 years ago. That's not really where he is right now.
Right.
I think I'm still holding Parisi, but I am less inclined to drop Pominville than I am Parisi. Like, if I had to drop one, I would drop Parisi over Pominville
right now. I think I'm with you, as crazy as it seems. I mean, again, if you're one of those teams that are fighting for the last playoff spot or two, I think you just have to cut both and try to make the push. But if you're in position to be in the playoffs without, you know, much question, I would probably hold both, but I wouldn't wait too long for either of them. Parisi, I mean, he was playing a little better lately, 3 goals in the last 5 games. Shots were coming up a bit, but I don't know. I mean, and Hansel is going to be his center too. I don't know. I just don't feel – I don't feel confident about him. He's 32. He's going to be 33 soon. He plays a heavy game. It's starting to decline. And, you know, next year I'm going to rank him very low. I mean, I talked about him in my post rankings this year. I had him in my top 100, but it wasn't too high up. And I don't know. I think this is going to be the last good year. Like, I don't even know if he'll be in my top 150 next year. It's just falling off too quickly, basically in every category. Like, you used to be able to bank on him for pushing 4 shots a game, and he is still over 3 now. I mean, that's where most of his value is coming from, is the shots. I mean, he's not even at a 50-point pace right now. He's basically on pace for, like, 22 goals, 22 assists over 82 games, maybe marginally more. It's not really good outside of the shots. So, again, he'll fill a team need next year, but for years, I mean, going back 10 years now, you know, since he broke out his second year with the Devils, he's been a top 50 to 100 player, even higher than top 50 some years. I mean, he had a 94-point season with the Devils, you know, but that time is in the past now for sure. I mean, I don't have much faith in him bouncing back. Do you?
No, I do not. Just,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know what those two guys can't do right now because their face is so swollen?
What's that?
Shave.
Oh, no, they can't.
Again, Harry's Razors. I got to try to figure out whatever kind of goofy segue I could.
Well, that did it.
Yeah. Compared to other shavers that I've used, again, I've been shaving for a long time. It's just the best shaver that I've used. The quality of it is much better than anything you're going to get. You know, whether you pay the same price for a cheap dollar, the dollar blades at the drugstore, or you go out and buy some $20 razor that four new blades are going to cost you $10 new, it's just ridiculous. Harry's is incredibly, you know, smooth. Close to your skin, no problems at all. Includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. So 5 German engineered blades, a lubricating strip, flex hinge for a comfortable glide, trimmer blade, and a weighted ergonomic handle. And, you know, like I said, all this for $2 a blade compared to God knows what you're paying at the drugstore. So they're so confident in the quality of their products, they want to let you try their most popular trial set for free. You know, it comes with a razor handle of your choice, shaving gel, and the 5-blade cartridge. You're going to pay a small fee for shipping, that's it, but, you know, the blade itself is going to be free. So to redeem your free trial offer, go to harrys.com/RazNHL right now. That's harrys.com/RazNHL, and it'll definitely be worth your time. The only other injuries, really, I mean, Ryan Suter left the game. He got hit hard on Tuesday against Winnipeg. Tried to come back, skated, couldn't do it. Hasn't really been an update. They're hoping he's going to play the next game. You look at the rest of their guys. Spurgeon would get a big boost if he's out, but I assume Spurgeon's already out anyway. Dumba becomes probably a hold then if Suter does miss some time. He's been up and down a bit, but combination of the plus minus plus the power play time would be enough in my mind. And that would be about it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's pretty straightforward. Yeah. Those are the two guys you'd look at for the big boost, right, if Suter's out.
And the rest of them are all Rangers, I believe.
Mika Zibanejad and Michael Grabner.
Zibanejad, you know, I had Kreider, too. Kreider left a game the other day, came back. He says he's going to be okay. He didn't practice Wednesday, but they made it seem like it was just a maintenance day, so I'm not worried about him. He has Abinajad, missed the game on Tuesday with a hand injury. Say he's questionable for Thursday. He's on the fringe to me right now, but he's playing with Kreider and Zuccarello. I still think I would be holding him. He has been cold since coming back from injury, but I think he will turn it around. And Grabner, he's got a hip injury. He's questionable for Thursday. He's done so much that I have to hold him for at least a few days to see how things shake out.
Yeah. Again, you seem to be just hitting all the points that I would have touched on, so excellent, just excellent work. You're just saving my voice, lovely voice. Let's see. Anything else that really should be talked about besides Philip Forsberg still being on absolute fucking just complete en fuego right now?
No, I was going to say the Lost Vikings picked him for 3 points, so congrats to him. Fucking Bergeron got 2 points for me.
And you know who else got 3 points?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Michael Granlund from Minnesota Wild got 3 points. In fact, he got 3 points through their first three goals, which was pretty money for me.
Must be nice.
Yeah, extending that lead quite a bit.
Yeah. Top 10 in points, McDavid, Crosby, Marchand, Byrne, Scheifele, Patty Kane, Backstrom, Malkin, Seguin, and Michael Granlund is now in 10th with 59 points.
Motherfucker.
looking at Thursday's games, I mean, Buffalo gets Arizona at home, but I don't have much faith in the Sabres right now. Washington's obviously massive favorites against the Devils. Holpe would have to be the first goalie I took in draft. It would either have to be him or Craig Anderson at home against Colorado. They already confirmed Anderson to start, too. I mean, that's just the dream spot right now.
Oh, yeah.
Burns would probably be my first pick at home against the Canucks. I don't see much reason to change. No, it's not the worst thing to pass, though, in a head-to-head league, just because if the guy you're playing takes Burns, you can get Carlson with your last pick down at home against Colorado, which is also a great spot. Again, Draft is a simple daily fantasy app where you do snake drafts just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season-long league. They last for just one night, and they only take minutes to complete. On Draft, you can play for free or, better yet, play for money. Chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than your chances of winning on other sites. If you're playing fantasy for money and not spending hours a day doing it, you should absolutely be playing on Draft. So just download Draft now by searching Draft in the App Store, and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code RASNHL, all caps, when you download, and you'll get a 100% bonus up to $600 when you deposit. So, again, just search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code RASNHL, all caps. And I'm kind of surprised Philly's a slight favorite at home against Florida. I don't know. I like the Florida spot, even though they've been struggling the last couple games. And I think Dallas and the Islanders is going to be one of the highest scoring games of the night. I know Grice has been playing better, but Dallas really just brings it out in everybody.
Yes, they do. Except Pittsburgh, who they beat the other night. That's 3-2.
That actually ends the streak. We talked about the one time, going back to last season, Pittsburgh was 65-0 when leading after two periods, and they ended up blowing a 2-0 lead in that game, surprisingly. Still a remarkable run that I can't believe that didn't get more press. I mean, that's just so absurd to not blow a third period lead for two straight seasons. Just insane.
Yeah. So players you look at, obviously almost anyone on Ottawa.
Yeah.
Your Hoffman, Stone, even Carlson, like you could totally see that. If you want to go the Buffalo route, Eichel's tough because they're putting him in between Foligno and Gianta, and holy fucking Christ, is that horrible.
I don't get it at all, but he is hot right now. It's a 6-game point streak, I think.
Yeah, if you're going to play a Sabre, it's got to be him.
Yeah, I agree.
Washington. Ovechkin has 4 points in 3 games against the Devils this year. Would be tough to ask him to get 3 points.
Yeah, I'd almost feel better taking Kuznetsov than Ovechkin.
Or even someone like Oshie.
If he's back.
Right, if he's back. Florida and Philly could have a little bit more scoring in it, but I...
If someone's going to do it, I think it's Florida. Reimer and Luongo have been fine. And I mean, yeah, Mason had a shutout the other day, but it was Colorado. It doesn't even count. I don't trust either of their goalies. Minnesota-Columbus, it could be high scoring. It could be the Dubnyk and Bob show. It's really hard to say. There's a decent amount of choices. I mean, Pavelski against Vancouver, too.
Jeff Carter. Also...
Even if you wanted to take Matthews or, you know, any these Leafs guys, they're just going to be so much faster than the Kings. So I wouldn't be surprised if.
Yeah, you know, and Drew Doughty can't play all 60 minutes.
That's true.
Forsberg
fucking got 10 goals in the last five games, and you can just decide you want to ride it. I mean, if we've been taking him repeatedly, he's got 4 3-point games in his last five games. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, and you can almost be you could play the revenge tactic and play PK Subban, which I don't know if I would. No, but
I mean, Yossi actually isn't even a ridiculous choice. I mean, he's absolutely on a tear too. He had four straight 2-point games. His minutes are through the roof right now. I wouldn't mind that. I think you got a lot of options today.
Yeah. I think next year we should do an option of you can pick nobody. And the way it would work is
there can't be one guy throughout the whole league that gets none.
Yeah, who has a 3-point night that night.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I think
right because then like you really have to hope for all of these games to be
at least on a night where there's like 8 or more games. I think I'd be okay with it.
Right, if it's on a night with like 3 games.
Yeah, usually we avoid those, but yeah. You got it right, so I'll give you the honors.
You were just going to give me the honors because you want more time to pick your 3.
No, I think I know where I'm going.
We all know what this is.
No, I think I know what I'm going with, but I'm not like completely sold on it, so I'll let you do what you want.
All right, just checking to make sure he's not in the top. All right, I'm going to go with Joe Pavelski from the Sharks.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I got to love them. They're at home. Yeah, they're at home against Vancouver. You can't take Brent Burns, but I'll take the next best thing on the Sharks. So I'll go Joe Pavelski.
Right. I'm going to do the same similar thing. I can't take Tyler Seguin, but I'm going to do the next best thing and take Jamie Benn. I do think that game's going to be super high scoring between them and the Islanders. They're at home. They're favorites. The over-under is 6, and they really depend on those top guys right now. I'm going to go with Benn. I do want to just add quick that Patrick Sharp wasn't traded, and it sounds like the reason was is because he has a nagging injury that he's been playing through, and teams didn't want to add him considering that. I mean, credit to Jim Neal for, you know, not being a dick, and they accept this trade, and then Sharp fails the physical, and it's got to go back, and, you know, they got to do everything, whatever. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he gets shut down sooner than later with how far they're out of it, so... Just something to keep in mind on if you do own Sharp right now that I wouldn't be counting on him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, if you're a Sharp owner, I would start looking elsewhere.
Yeah, especially if you're in like a dynasty league and you're a contending team, I would probably try to move him now because once he's done for the season, you're not going to be able to get shit for him. And there's also the chance that your trade deadline in your fantasy league is rapidly approaching as well. So... better to be on top of that than waiting. So I think that's about it for us.
Just put your 3-point entry in the comments section below. Give us a nice healthy 5-star review and subscribe on the iTunes page or wherever you're getting this from, pretty much.
Yep.
Yep.
Look for us to be back next Tuesday, sticking the usual schedule. We got... Hell, we only got about a month left of the regular season, so.
And you only got about a week and a half left of your fantasy season, so.
Good luck with your playoff push, and.
Yeah, this is where it comes down to.
Basically.
So, take care, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah, take it easy.